You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry here from Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. We're here till 4. Fred and AJ come in after that. And then, of course, you can make a night of it. You can stay here and watch the Astros opening game. You can watch the national championship game. There's plenty of TVs to go around. The experts will maybe still be here to tell us breaking news at a fingertips notice when they decide to scratch their temple and think there's something to chime in. But overall, we're even going to give away gift cards. We've got three $25 gift cards we'll give away here while we are here during our show. And then we have three more that Fred and AJ will give away during the Blitz between 4 and 7. So you like Nick's Place, you come by and eat, drink, be merry, and then you have a chance to come back and get $25 to use the next time just by stopping in.
Yeah, Justin texted the show and said, hey, Barry, we have our fantasy baseball live auction draft every year at Nick's Place. Best food, plenty of TVs. They put their draft board up on, I guess, on one of the TVs. That's how cool they are here. They put their draft board up. That's pretty nice. He's like still, and he's still butthurt about not getting in our league that I got going. I didn't realize when I asked people would actually join. So it kind of happened. I screwed everything up and had way more people interested than I had slots left. So I screwed that up. That's my bad. Okay, my bad.
But here's the thing.
Next year I'll do two leagues.
Because I really in the want break a second about starting league. A second league just for you and like one or two people of your choice. So, I mean, you can still do that.
I really would do. I think I'm going to join a second league. I don't think I'm going to start one. I don't want to be commissioner in two leagues, but I might join one. I like to have at least three fantasy baseball teams during the year. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you have it. All right, so we've got this Rockets discussion going. And, oh, by the way, if you didn't watch last night, if you weren't concerned or didn't care and you figured they'd beat Phoenix, they rested James Harden, they rested Trevor Ariza, that's all fine and dandy. The bad news out of that game, in the fourth quarter, Sam Dekker, broken hand, 3 to 4 weeks, he's out. That can hurt your rotation. Hasn't been playing a whole lot, but yet you do rely on guys that have gotten a lot of run during the regular season to be a part of your rotation come playoff time. And I think losing Sam can't help, but I don't think it hurts dramatically, but it is a loss.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those guys who was, you know, getting 3 points in 7 minutes in a game, so it's not really affecting. It does mess up the rotation a little bit, but I don't even know how much time Sam was going to get in the playoffs. He was at the back end of the first part of the rotation, if that makes any sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was the third option off the bench a lot of times. So I don't know that it's that big of a deal that, you know, that he's going to miss some time. I mean, it doesn't worry me all that much.
First round of the playoffs, he'd probably see a lot more run than he would in the semis and the finals of the conference because, you know, we saw what happened when they played San Antonio or Golden State and his minutes went down dramatically. That's when you got to make shots. When if you're going to follow Daryl's philosophy of we can outscore him, you've got to be consistent with your shot. And I think Sam still sometimes questions his own jumper, and he thinks about it too much. But I think it's tough to see a kid that actually finally started getting minutes in the NBA and fitting in, and now he's going to be out probably, you know, unless they get deep into the playoffs, he'll probably miss the rest of the season.
I mean, just to give you an idea, he played in 19 minutes. He scored 0 points. He was a -3 while he was on the floor. Yeah. I'm not missing that. You know, and he obviously got the start because of Ariza. But
it's a shame.
Yeah.
I just feel for him as a person because I know how much it hurt him when he sat out the first year with all the back issues. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, is that a huge loss? Is that like losing a guy that's going to, you know, be one of your key 10, 15-point-a-game off-the-bench scores? No.
What it probably means is you're going to see more of Troy Williams than you would have. They'll keep that kid around a little longer. Impressive first game.
Yeah.
Gets the start.
Yep.
Apparently he got acclimated pretty quick down in the Rio Grande Valley, you know, down there trying to run the same offense that they run up here in the big leagues. And he comes in and starts, does 39 minutes, gets 21 points. He was filling it up in the first half. You could tell something was off in the second half. He didn't have as good of a second half as he did in the first. Defense kind of reminds me. I was talking to Billy D. Washington on Facebook, and he was asking about what Williams, you know, what kind of game he had or who would you compare him to. And he brought up, is he a you know, more Corey Brewer or Trevor Ariza? I was like, he's probably Brewer with a better shot.
Right.
As opposed to Ariza. Because he doesn't play. He reminds me of Sam Decker when he's out there on defense. He still gets lost. But it was his first game on the team.
Right.
He's a rookie. He's going to get lost.
Oh, and he was a stud. Look, I hate to say this, but it's true. The front office of the Rockets cares sometimes as much about winning the D-League title as they do about winning on the NBA level. A lot of times you'll see a move where he's guaranteed this year with three non-guaranteeds following, but the main thing is they have his rights and they care about these things. He's played well down in the D-League. They had a game winner the night before the Phoenix game. Comes right in, gets his minutes, does some great things. Now, I would go against what you said is simply from the playoff perspective. I don't think he's going to get any run in the playoffs because I don't think D'Antoni trusts him enough.
Oh, no.
But I think between now and the end of the regular season, absolutely look for him to be someone that's going to get some of Decker's minutes and get plenty of shots up. So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so what do you do then in the playoffs? I mean, it's like I said earlier, Decker's not a guy that was going to get a ton of minutes in the playoffs because essentially, and we've mentioned this several times, he's still a rookie. Yeah. He played in, three games last year? So he had no real experience.
Here's the deal. So Decker was trying to play some power forward because Harrell was playing backup five. Everybody was like, where's Montrez? Why is he buried? Why isn't he playing? Well, they moved him to be the third string center. Mm-hmm. And so that hurt him. I think you'll just see a little shuffle of the deck. I think Montrez will get some minutes just being an energy guy at the four, where they go more to a non-stretch four, traditional.
Which he played
Dantoni's
last
office.
Night. Yeah. He played power forward.
And you'll probably
see
more of that. But I think come playoff time, you'll see Nene play a lot more minutes. So therefore, rotational things are going to take care of themselves because he's not going to be on a minutes restriction. He's not going to be sitting games just to rest. They're going to need him, especially as they get deeper into the playoffs. I think that's where a lot of the minutes will go.
Thoughts on Isaiah Taylor? 15 minutes, 3 points.
Again, another guy that they're very high on.
Yeah.
They like him in the D League. They think that he can do some things long term if they continue to work with him and get him acclimated to the system. I think there's a guy that'll soak up some minutes the rest of the regular season. I think there's a guy they're planning on for the future. But do I think he'll have implications in the playoffs? No.
Who has a better shot of making this team and playing for it the next couple of years, Williams or Taylor?
Well, I'll tell you what, they love Daryl's big on having guys that have potential. That were really highly looked at and when they came out of college, and he came out early. But I would say Taylor from the longer term because he's still younger. And, you know, Williams has had his shot in the NBA before. But it remains to be seen. I'll stick with that.
Going with Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, and your thoughts on both guys?
I kind of think Troy Williams. I don't know. It's just he kind of fits that mold of a big guy that can shoot well from the perimeter, run the floor. I mean, he won it doesn't say much, but if you watch the game last night, the way he was slashing to the basket, you know, he won that slam dunk contest. So he's dynamic. He's athletic. He can run the floor, but he can shoot the three as well. I have a feeling that, you know, with he might stick around a little bit longer because you don't need a point guard. You know, not nearly as much, especially with Harden here and Bev as the backup. So I could see him sticking around.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Sticking around is one thing, but long term, if you're looking at it that way from an organizational perspective, I think that they love Taylor simply because they think that they got a sleeper there that they can develop that might have slipped through the cracks.
Okay.
Kevin's on hold. He wants to talk Rockets. Kevin, what's up?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Piggyback
off that caller a couple of callers ago, did you guys watch the end of that Golden State game? I think that was Friday night when they played great 3.5 quarters, everybody moving the ball moving. And when it got down to the last 5 minutes of the game, like the other caller said, everything just stopped. Guys start standing around the three-point line. You know, even though Harden wasn't necessarily in the game then, but I don't know if it's Harden or the way the offense is structured. At the end of games, they just get bogged down. The ball stops moving. Nobody's moving without the ball. And when you play a team like Golden State, two or three possessions, when you shoot way long jump shots like that, Golden State's just not going to keep missing shot after shot. That's what happened to them Friday night. Standing around, missing two or three shots in a row. Golden State come down, hit two or three shots in a row. And now they're down 6 or 7. I mean, that's like you called it. That's what happened with San Antonio. That's what happens with a lot of these games in the last 3 to 5 minutes of the game. It's just two standing around and two jump shot hit.
So, Kevin, I don't completely disagree. Here's what I'll say. I think he's gotten better. I think you saw that consistently every single time you got into crunch time in the last year or so. I think it's gotten better. He trusts his teammates. A lot of times you see them, and I hate it, and I know what you're talking about. They revert back to the way they used to do it when he just goes 1-4 flat, isolation on the wing, and dribbles the hell out of it. But I think that's when you've got guys out. He misses a guy like Ryan Anderson. And I think your other point is valid, too. From a systematic standpoint, and one of the things that I said last week, I don't understand. Lou Williams had 10 points for you in the fourth quarter of that game, and then all of a sudden with 2 minutes to play, you yank him out and you pull Eric Gordon, who was cold, off the bench to go back in there. You got to ride that hot hand, and it's not always going to be James Harden. And I think that it's a twofold to your point. I think, yeah, James has gotten better. Could he still improve more? Absolutely. Does he revert back to the way it used to be? Sure. But I think also systematically there's still some things with substitutions and changes in who you put on the floor when to close games that I scratch my head at, because I would still like to see their version of the suicide lineup. I would like to see Lou Williams on the floor with Eric Gordon and James Harden. Now you got true shooters and scorers that can also put it on the floor at a time when you need ball handlers and you need to do the things you need to do to execute your offense. I still haven't seen that. I compare this a lot to the Raptors, which is why I never think the Raptors are a championship contender. They're a loaded team that can play really well for 3.5 quarters. When you ask them to execute down the stretch in a tight game in the playoffs, they just either give it to Lowry or DeRozan and get out of the way. They don't run plays. They don't execute. And it hurts them deeply when you get into the bigger games in playoffs. Your thoughts?
Me? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how to say this another way. I mean, you know, he basically repeated the other caller. My take is the same.
Yeah.
I think it's completely different than the last time. He's setting up plays. Yeah, there's times when they're standing around, but I don't think that James Harden is just up there dribbling out the clock. I don't think that's the case at all. So, I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
So there you have it. All right, I'm here right now to tell you about Window World. I want to tell you right now that I'm a huge fan of Window World in Houston, and it's for a lot of different reasons, because they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but they also have energy-saving windows that are made right here in America, and they carry the good housekeeping seal of approval. Better yet, right now, if you contact Window World, you're going to get a heck of a deal, because they're not going to screw you over. They're not going to tie you into doing something you don't want to do. What they are going to do, come to your house, free written estimate. No charge to you, no pressure, no hassles. They're just going to come out, see what you have, tell you what you might want to think about doing, tell you what can help you save some money on your energy bills, and then walk away. You get the written estimate. If you choose to act on it, that's up to you. If you don't, hey, no strings attached. You're free to go. They're free to go. But it's a great deal. They do it because they trust their product. They trust the work that they provide behind it. And they trust that you, the customer, will see that and know where to go when you need quality windows, whenever that may be. Call 713-439-1172 or online, windowworldhouston.com. 713-439-1172. windowworldhouston.com. Call and schedule an appointment. They'll come out, check out everything, give you the written estimate. The rest is up to you. What do you got to lose? Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call.
97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. If you want fantastic food and a great sports environment, it's Nick's Place, especially tonight with the Astros kicking off the season, as well as the national championship game. Head on over to Nick's Place. It's Westheimer before the Beltway on Rocky Ridge. and you won't be disappointed. You will be back again. And like I said, we're giving away three $25 gift certificates for Nick's Place as part of our festivities today. Fred and AJ will have three more between 4 and 7. Without further ado, we got a special guest for you guys right now, and he's a good one. One Bill Polian, Pro Football Hall of Famer, ESPN analyst, and former NFL front office insider and executive, a general manager who knows a lot about football, and he joins us right now, and we really appreciate him spending some time with us. Bill, welcome to the show. It's Joel, it's Barry, and right off the top, I think everybody knows a lot about your background, but what they might not know about is your involvement with USA Football and what exactly is going on with USA Football. So why don't you fill in our listeners a little bit?
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be with you, and I am one of the usual suspects, so I feel at home. USA Football has put together a series of grants, $1.5 million in grants to youth and high school football programs across the nation. And all you have to do is to dial up lowercase usafootball.com/grants, fill out the application, and your youth or high school program may be eligible for some significant grants to help improve coaching and skills. I happen to be the chairman of the USA Football Skills Committee. And we do a lot in terms of trying to get people on the same page with the best and safest skills to play the game. So USA Football is putting its money where my mouth is, and please take advantage of it.
Well, USA Football, Bill, is great because it's like the lifeline and a bloodline to keep football going with kids. Everybody's trying to steer kids away from football. This is a way to make sure that they have the proper coaching to do it the right way and have the equipment to back it up. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity.
Well, I agree with you. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
All right, we're speaking with Bill Polian of ESPN on the HRMP hotline. All right, Bill, I got to ask you, especially down here in the great city of Houston, we got to know, what the hell is going on with Jerry Jones up there and Tony Romo? Is he playing his cards right with this?
Well, as usual, Jerry's playing his cards close to the vest. And he really doesn't have to do a whole heck of a lot until OTAs open up, which is somewhere around the 19th, 20th of April. So he's got until then to make a decision as to whether or not he wants Tony in and participating, because Tony can do that of his own volition. Jerry can't stop him. He's got a contract. So between now and then, you would think that they'd have to have a resolution to a new contract for Tony, and obviously much reduced, and then perhaps a release or a trade. Now, obviously, everybody's talking about you folks as the destination, whether or not Bill O'Brien and company will want to give up something of little value for Tony remains to be seen. Whether or not Jerry would do it remains to be seen. But the clock is ticking toward April 20th, and that's the first timeline that they have to cross, whereby it becomes an issue. Because for Tony to come in and work out and get hurt, and for the Cowboys to be on the hook for that whole contract, is a pretty dire thing. So, financially, that's probably the first time Jerry and Tony and others have to make a move.
Bill, you obviously have been a guru of drafts for way back in a lot of years. You still stay close to it with your duties with ESPN. I'm looking at the draft right now. People say not a great year for quarterback play. Yes, there's Trubisky. Yes, there's Watson. There's some guys. Have you looked at the quarterback class, and have you said there is some value, there's a guy or two that catches your eye, maybe someone that people aren't even really looking at enough that might be able to be a guy that can play on the next level and actually play well?
Well, the first answer is yes, I've looked at them. The answer to your second question is no, there's nobody there that can come in and play well anytime soon. If you just look at Wentz last year, this, by the way, is no knock on the players or the coaching or anything else, a function of the difference between pro football and college football with the spread offense. Wentz played in a conventional offense, one of the few college quarterbacks to come in recent years who came from a conventional offense. And he was exceptionally smart and had been in school for 5 years and started for essentially two. And he was perceived to have had a great year, even though his quarterback rating was well down. And once the Eagles lost their right tackle, he struggled badly for the rest of the season. To be expected. Most people think his future is very bright. Now, all of the quarterbacks coming in this year have not been in school for 5 years, have not played in conventional pro-style offenses. In fact, they've played in just the opposite, the spread. Some have many more mechanical difficulties than Wentz did. And they're all going to struggle the way the young man from Cal did at Los Angeles. So if you're looking for someone to come in and play right away, he's not there. What we've got in the NFL right now, vis-a-vis quarterbacks and where they're drafted, is the NBA. You're drafting potential. You're drafting physical ability. You're not drafting much more than that. You're hoping that he can develop into whomever he may be, can develop into a pro quarterback, but you do not know. You absolutely do not know.
Bill Polian joins us. Bill, what are your thoughts on Joe Mixon? I mean, from all indications, he's surging up people's draft boards. As a former executive, is this a guy you pay attention to, or are you avoiding him because of the baggage that he brings with him?
Well, the first thing you do is pay attention to him, and you make a judgment on his football ability, and that judgment of his football ability, in my opinion, and in the opinion of virtually everybody I've talked to, is in the first round. And then it becomes an ownership decision because you've got some pretty severe baggage. He's not for every owner. He's not for every market. There are some, I think, where you could probably speak authoritatively and speak honestly that he's had a chance to rehab himself at Oklahoma and has done a pretty good job and is very sorry for what he did and the mistake that he made. And there might be some markets in the NFL that would be forgiving of that. There are others that will not. And some of those teams have already gone on record as saying we're not interested in the player. And that happens every year with far more players than you know, actually. But the bottom line is he's not for everybody, and it's going to have to be an ownership decision.
Bill, a question on the Brock Osweiler situation. I know it's a dead horse down here now, but a lot of people saying, including the owner, hey, surprised anybody was willing to take him off the Texans' hands. But where do you lean in terms of the same guy that's getting credit now in Rick Smith for moving Brock Osweiler is the same guy that, with a small sample size, brought him in and helped to give him that contract. Your take from afar at looking at how that whole thing transpired and then how he left town?
Well, first of all, in terms of the acquisition, there's no general manager born, including myself many times, that has not made a mistake in free agency. One of the reasons general managers disliked free agency so much when we were negotiating back in the late 80s and early 90s to have free agency in the NFL and arrive at labor peace and a labor situation we could deal with was that we knew we were going to make mistakes by definition, and they were going to be costly by definition. And every single one of us has made at least one and more than, and I've made more than my share. So you won't hear any criticism from me on anybody making a mistake in free agency, as long as you do it for the right reasons. And obviously Rick did it for the right reasons. And you have to pay what you have to pay. The agents are in charge in free agency. And you have a choice. You can either contribute, you can either decide to play, or you can decide to sit it out. We sat it out for many years in Indianapolis, and I was roundly criticized for it. And when I did delve into it, I made a couple of mistakes that caused me to shy away again. So it happens. The idea that you could give up a second and swap fourths to have somebody take $16 million in contract liability is unheard of. So kudos to Rick and kudos to the organization for finding someone willing to do it. I said on ESPN at the time, we were on the air with a free agency show at the time that the deal was made. I cannot imagine myself going into Jim Irsay or Ralph Wilson and saying to them, listen, I can get a two and we'll only give up a fourth for $16 million. You know, I think both of them would have needed to be resuscitated. and I would have been out of the office and maybe out of a job in a big hurry if I proposed such a deal. It's unheard of. So, you know, kudos to Rick for finding a taker.
Well, kudos to you, sir. We know that your track record speaks for itself. I know it was a tough decision back in the day. You drafted a guy named Peyton Manning. That worked out well for you, too. But you're in the Hall of Fame for a reason. We appreciate you being a part of the show. And, again, remind people one more time how they get involved. This is a football state, so how do they get involved with USA Football?
USA, $1.5 million in grants to high school and youth football programs. Just dial up on the computer. Lowercase USAFootball.com/grants.
Bill Polian's been our guest. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you. Anytime you have some time, we would be happy to have you on. A great interview, as always. Good luck with the season on ESPN.
Thank you very much.
Bill Polian's been our guest. It's Barry and Joel from Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Stop in, grab some food, and stay for the Astros in the national championship game. We'll be motoring along here and back with more in just a second. The usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Let's all go to the movie.
Take two, Mark.
And action.
The Usual Suspects present Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you?
Then the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch?
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. It is 2:30. That means it is time for our weekly Monday Movie Moments with Trey. And this week, we keep it kind of sportsy. We've got Trey doing a monologue from Bull Durham. And without further ado, here it is.
Well, I believe in the soul, the c***, the p***, the smell of a woman's back, the low-hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Suzanne Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a Constitution Amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Short one this week.
It is short, but listening to Trey talk about long, slow, deep, wet kisses.
And I believe
I don't know
in
about
long,
you.
Slow, deep, soft, wet kisses.
Do you want to blow his nose or do you want to hear him say it again?
I didn't know where you were going with that at first.
I believe in long, slow, wet kisses that last 3 days.
I believe in
days
long,
and
slow,
a half
deep,
a box
soft,
of Kleenex.
Wet kisses.
Kisses. Look at some kisses.
Ah, good times with Trey. We're back in the lab today. We're back in the lab today. I'm going to have him do, he's going to be doing Yoda.
Okay.
From The Empire Strikes Back. Scarface.
Okay.
Yep, The Jerk. Some Jerry Maguire. We're going to show him the money. It's going to be good. We've got a few more. I think that I have that. National Lampoon's Vacation. We do have A Few Good Men. We've got Pulp Fiction. going to do some.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've got some good stuff in the works, too. He's got a couple more left that we have already. Maybe even some Austin Powers and Boys in the Hood.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We've made this kid a celeb.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be good. I'm thinking about even maybe that scene from Signs of the Lamb where he's like, I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Hello, Clarice.
Yeah, so we'll see. But he's got to do the voices. That's the trick. He's got to do a Yoda voice. So I'm interested to see what Trey sounds like doing Yoda.
Ooh, Yoda?
Yeah.
If it is Yoda, you see?
We'll see how it goes. I don't know who this is on the text line, but someone is losing their mind that we haven't talked baseball, which in all of the things that I would guess people would text in and bitch about, not talking baseball would have been pretty low on my list. You know what I mean? I get it. It is opening day, and we have plenty of baseball to talk about, but there is a team in this town that was making a playoff push. This had some, you know, things going wrong and right and whatnot. So that's going to be talked about. Football. It's a football town. We had Bill Polian booked. I mean, settle down. We've got only half over. We've got an hour and a half, and trust me, we've got plenty of baseball notes to talk about. And not only that, but I promise you, I'm going to be getting plenty of hate texts throughout the season for talking too much baseball.
Yeah, people bitch when you talk about it.
I promise you that.
Let's just be coming. Let's be clear. One thing about this show, people bitch.
Yeah.
Period. Good, bad, and different. We're not going to please everybody all the time. That's just the way it goes. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Somebody said Trey's name is perfect for his voice because it's about three octaves too high. Trey, I like that. Not bad, sir. Who was that? That was Jed. Good call on that, Jed. It is. And they want to see him do Christopher Walken. I don't know if he has. I want to see Trey doing angry black people. Let's be real. He was the drill sergeant, and that was the best one you liked.
Yep, yep.
But when he did Training Day as an angry black man, I think Trey really stands out.
See, and again, if he's doing Silence of the Lambs, the biggest part of that is getting the voice right. I can't hear Trey doing "Hello, Clarice."
Yes, I don't think he's gonna try.
Yeah,
I mean, he's certainly gonna try.
It's gonna sound like Mickey Mouse or something. He's gonna sound like "Hello, Clarice." Oasis is my favorite band, but I'm gonna eat you with some Chianti.
Yeah,
it's not gonna go over well.
I can't wait for the outtakes of some of these. It's gonna be good.
Yes,
I wish there was more outtakes from Bull Durham, but that was pretty easy.
If we were in the studio right now, he'd be flipping us off.
Yeah, I want to see him do the jerk, but I'm worried that it's not gonna be as effective as maybe the movie itself. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we'll see. I think a lot of people
aren't familiar with the movie The Jerk. I really do.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have. I'd like to see him refer to his dog a couple of times, but that's a story all in itself because that's not made for radio.
Lifesaver.
Yeah,
right? Lifesaver?
Yeah.
No?
No. No, we know what it is. You guys can look it up. All right, and the other thing is the Final Four is tonight. God forbid we talk about that because it's
Let's talk baseball first.
So we'll talk baseball. We'll talk Final Four. Jeez. And by the way, I made this mention and threw it like a trivia question. Hey, if you want $25 gift card to Nick's Place, why don't you tell us who the perfect guy remaining in the Final Four is for the usual suspects? Why there is one player left in the Final Four. I'm saying left. Of the four teams, there's one guy that fits beautifully as a member of this show, The Usual Suspects. We'll get to that. We'll get to a lot more. We've got three of those gift cards to give away between now and four, and then Fred and AJ and the Blitz will have three more. So why don't you stop out at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, or make sure you keep listening to The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Take care, guys. Have a great day.
And I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from Nick's Place, as the announcer doesn't lie, 2713 Rocky Ridge. You can come in for a late lunch, stay for Astros opening night, as well as the national championship game. Barry.
Some lady walked in on me while I was in the bathroom, FYI. She's trying to sneak a peek at my hog. I don't know what was going on.
Did you get the scared turtle?
No.
Did you kind of shrink back in? Or?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It was weird, though. She goes, oops. I was like, yeah. Boy, if I had a nickel every time I heard that in this situation.
That's what happens when there's no stall door and you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
The other trick is that Andreas played on you weren't aware of because you ran off was he switched headsets while you went to the bathroom. So you now are fondling.
I've got the spit set?
You have the Salisbury spit
you
set.
Bastard. Did he really? Now I don't know for sure. No, I think you're lying.
See, this is a dilemma. Now I think it's really, lying. This is really going to go.
I should have checked the number, but I think you're lying. Yeah.
I could be.
It doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a no-win when we're on a remote because we can't bring our own mic screens. So we've got plenty more show to get to. The Astros opener, King Felix on the hill. A lot of people sleeper pick the Mariners to get in on a wild card and be better than the Rangers. Your thoughts?
I think the Mariners are going to be a lot better. This is a team that a couple of years ago people anticipated turning things around, and they kind of stumbled last year. I think it's going to make for a better season as far as the division race goes, too, because you've got the Rangers and the Astros as well. I don't know that the A's or the Angels. The Angels are like a deep sleeper pick for some folks, but I wouldn't count on it. I think having the Mariners competitive this year is going to make for a much better divisional race throughout the year. So, and it's going to be a good test for the Astros, kind of see what they're made of early on. Against a team that, some people might some people think are going to contend at least for a while.
I mean, they play them a boatload early in the season, the Mariners, to start the season off with. So you're going to see firsthand right off the top how good the Mariners are, how much they dipped into free agency to try and get better, and the fact that they are a much improved ball club. But, again, we get back to the fact that, from the standpoint of the Astros, starting pitching is going to be what everybody's going to put under the microscope. But, even in the two-game series they just had with the Cubs, one thing you don't have to worry about, that lineup's going to score runs. They're going to knock it around the park. They're going to be fun to watch because they have got quite the batting order 1-9.
They do indeed, and adding those left-handed bats in the offseason is going to help them quite a bit. You're not going to see those up front in the first four. But after that, you've got Beltran and McCann and Reddick and Aoki and Gurriel, and all of this is fairly new to this team.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it, the only those first four guys that were here, but even then, Bregman wasn't here for most of the year. So it's a new lineup for the most part, except for the big three. But I think it's a much better lineup than you saw last year. So
before we were full time doing this, and you and I would kick around baseball back and forth, and we said, look, the same thing that everybody else saw from afar was. 1-4, 1-5, really solid top of the order. And then the bottom half of that order, it doesn't just fall off. It just completely disappears.
Yeah.
And they struggled mightily. They're not going to have that problem this year. We were talking about the roster and just the reserves going, man, there's no room even if a guy has a breakout spring. There was just no room on that roster with all the bats they have in that lineup, which is a great problem to have. And their bullpen, again, left-handed relief pitching may be an issue depending on what Sip does as the only guy coming out of the pen as a southpaw. But overall, all eyes will be on that starting that rotation starting tonight with Keuchel to see if you get 2 years ago's Keuchel, last year's, or somewhere in between.
It's funny because, we talked about the deficiencies from a left-handed pitching perspective out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was watching a game against the Cubs, and they put something up where they showed this staff against lefties. And one of the worst pitchers was Sip. I mean, you had guys like Devinsky that would go in and literally shut down left-handers. It's one of those things where, you play the matchups and you play it by the book, but you don't always have to have a lefty that can go in and shut down a left-handed hitter. Sometimes guys like Devinsky can go in and be tough on righties and lefties. So, while they don't have a guy, another left-handed arm in the bullpen, you've got guys that can handle, an order that may go righty-lefty, righty-lefty for the most part. One of the things about the depth of this lineup that struck me is if you look at, I pretty much read you. It's Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa. That's the top four. And then it should be Beltran, McCann, Reddick, Gurriel, Aoki. A name missing from that? A guy that hit 32 home runs last year can't even get in the lineup. And Evan Gattis.
Evan Gattis, yeah.
So that says something when you can fill that nine out and you've still got a guy to bring in off the bench who can come in and get you an RBI and get you that long ball when you need it. So the hype is real. When you hear people saying that this team is going to score some runs, you got a guy who, he hit 250 in this day of baseball. That's about like hitting 270 back in the in the steroid era. You know what I mean?
So, and everybody's looking at the Indians and saying the Indians did so much by bringing in Encarnacion. But look, the fact of the matter is the Astros didn't have to do that much, but what they did do was more than enough because now they're loaded with bats. Now, like you said, you can bring in a guy off the bench for power. You can bring in a guy that's just a good for getting you for average and a base knock. Situationally, you have a lot more options. And A.J. Hinch could get manager of the year just for trying to juggle all the different amounts of innings to be had by guys coming in off the bench and when you give guys rest because – Gattis may see some time at first or designated hitter. You know that for a guy that was your all over Mr. Goodwrench last year in Marwin Gonzalez, you're going to have to find some time for him to get some at bats so he can stay sharp too. So AJ's going to have a very good problem to have, but he's going to have a tough task some days trying to juggle that lineup to make sure everybody stays fresh, but that you stay on top of your game offensively and continue to knock the ball around the yard and get a lot of runs in there. So.
Yeah, and you know when you look at the rotation, we've beat this to death about needing a clear cut ace, and you know Keuchel was that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I really feel like this could be the year that Lance McCullers, if he can stay healthy,
just stay healthy, man.
He could position himself to take over that role as the ace. He has the stuff to do it,
yes,
and that's
sir.
That's why they've been patient with him. He has the stuff. It's a matter of staying healthy, and so if that emerges. Then they're in great shape, right? But if not, look for them to still make a push for Quintana down the stretch with the White Sox. They're still trying to get younger.
Yeah.
They're not even bringing up some of these guys that they got in the Chris Sale trade, like Moncada. He's going to wait. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bring him up until after the All-Star break. They're in no rush right now, the White Sox. They're not trying to win.
Or after he buys his 18th car?
Yeah. They're not trying to win. They're trying to build,
right.
Like, similar to what the Astros were doing for a while. So, there's still a chance for the Astros to acquire that guy.
They'd love to get a Bregman, and the Astros aren't willing to part with him, so that's not going to happen. But, again, things change as situationally it gets closer to the deadline, and they realize time is running out. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I agree with you, but the other thing I'd say about McCullers, as well as it's just about staying healthy, he's got to get that number two over the plate and low. Where he struggles the most when he is, and you saw this in the Cubs game the other night, Thursday, when he is not right, it's because his breaking pitch doesn't have a sharp break to it. It's not dropping down into the below the knees area. When that fastball is on and his breaking pitch is at least diving, he's pretty much tough to hit all the time. When that breaking ball sits above the knees, that's when teams score runs on him. They get to him, and that could be a problem as well. So look for, if he does stay healthy, look for how he keeps control of that breaking pitch, because that's huge for McCullers to be successful.
Another thing about this team that I think is going to be different that people saw last year is they were a team that ran a lot last year. They were top 10 in steals, and I don't think you're going to see that this year. They got left-handed sticks. They got some veteran leadership, but they got older, but they didn't get faster. I think, you know, guys like Springer and Altuve and Correa will still run. Bregman as well. But that's about it. Like, I don't think you'll see many steals after that. So, look, that'll be a difference from what you saw last year as well.
I'm interested to see if he's going to bunt even less. Now, he says he's going to be hyper AJ. AJ Hinch, he said he's going to be more aggressive early in the season in terms of trying to push runs across the board. But he's a guy that, even with last year's lineup, wasn't much of a bunting guy. Now with as much offense as he has, I think you'll see it even less if that's possible.
I don't think this is a team that's going to play small ball.
No,
this is not a bloop and a, I mean, this is bloop and a blast kind of team.
So there, we've pleased half of you, and we've displeased half of you. We talk baseball. So we've got plenty more to get to. If you want to talk about something that's on your mind, give us a call, give us a text, hit us up on Twitter. We're at 713-780-ESPN, where you can text or call, or you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.